Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews, excuse me, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. Oh, you know what? I'm in the second place. We need James 1. I'm sorry. James 1. But it's not far from there anyway. James 1. Took a little walk last night. Well, I took a long walk last night, actually, but the sky was really interesting. Maybe I need new glasses, but it seemed like the right at the horizon where I could see, it was like almost like a light green color. And then it turned to like a light blue. And then over here it was like a royal blue, but it was just pretty. Really pretty last night. Saw about 6 deer in one field. Saw one in the road when I was walking. Had about 3 horse flies that wanted to take a bite out of me. So I got a little, what do you call those things? I got a little piece of a tree, the feathers. The leaves and stuff, and was trying to get rid of it, but it was persistent. But finally, I think, I don't know if I got more in the sun or whatever, but it finally left me alone. But it was a real, excuse me, real pretty out there. So James 1, and let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love and your goodness, and we do thank you, Lord, that for everybody that repents of their sins and trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ and in him alone, that love can lift us out of the miry clay, can lift us out of sin, Lord, and that we can be saved from it. We do thank you for that. We thank you for the privilege it is to be able to be here this morning. And Father, we just pray to open our hearts to your word, and Lord, let you do a work that we might be more equipped to serve you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. James 1 and verse 13. James 1, 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, excuse me, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Just want to speak a few moments this morning about temptation. About temptation. We all know it's everywhere. And, it's only a thought away. It's only a glance away. And it's something we have to constantly be on guard for. You know, certain people are tempted in different ways with different things, with different severities, but there are some keys to making sure that we can overcome temptation. Number one, don't try to blame somebody else. Don't try to blame God. It's all on us. Verse 13 here, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. God didn't do it. It's not God's fault when we have a struggle. It's not God's fault when we have a trial. It's on us. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God is perfectly righteous in everything he does. He's perfectly loving in everything he does. And God is not in the business of trying to make us fall or get us into a situation where we can fall. And then verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And we've got to cut that off right at that point. And that's the mind. That is the mind. You know, sometimes our hearts get desirous of something, and we kind of run with that at times. But we've got to cut that right off when we're tempted and we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. You know, the Bible's clear that there is pleasure in sin for a season. And we need to have the mindset of we don't want any part of that. We want to have the idea that we want to please our Savior more than we want to have a little fun, that we want to have a little pleasure. Guys out at the sheriff's camp, I know I use this as examples a lot, but new guy out there on Thursday night, and I try not to be skeptical. I really try not to be skeptical. But there's been so many guys that have come through there, and I mentioned this more than once, but a lot of times they do a lot of talking. You know, they act like they want to do something different. You know, and this guy, he said a lot of good things. He's not a Christian. He admits it. He's kind of skeptical about God and stuff. But he said, you know, he's tried it his way for years and it hasn't worked yet. So he's got to try something different. You know, this guy said he served 10 years in federal prison for some kind of crime. And now he's in the county jail for, you know, something more minor, obviously. But we need to pray for those guys out there, you know, and but it takes a commitment. We can't just be kind of a fleeting thing or a halfway thing. We all know that in our own hearts and lives. It has to be a wholehearted turning away from the wrong and turning to the right. And then verse 15 here, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren, or err, however you say that, same idea. It's so important that we have the right understanding about this area of temptation. Because if we're in error here, there's no limit to the kind of influence the devil and the flesh can have in our lives. Now let's turn to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. It's not somebody else's fault. It's not God's fault. It's our own fault. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing where we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Sin easily besets us. And I looked this up, this word beset. In Strong's, it said, it gave the idea of being thwarted in a race, or thwarting a racer, like hindering a racer. You know, and if we think about that, you know, even when we're just trying to take a walk, you know, a little tiny rock can get into our shoe. You know, in certain places on our feet, it might not even matter. You know, it might not really bother us. But in other places on our feet, it might be debilitating. Yesterday, we were leaving to go visit my nephew, whose wife just had a new little baby boy. And I was putting my shoes on, and I found a piece of screw in my shoe. But I have these really hard, what are they made out of? They're like really hard plastic anyway, orthotics, arch supports. So I didn't even realize it. You know, it didn't do any damage to me. It only did damage to my orthotic there. But without that protection, you know, that who knows, maybe I would have had another hole in my foot like I did a few weeks ago. But the point is that that's how sin is. You know, it's something that tries to thwart us. You know, we're supposed to be running a race as believers. And it easily thwarts us. It easily distracts us. And then in Webster's 1828, it said to press on all sides to entangle. You know, and out at our place, we have a lot of places where a lot of grass and vines, and it's crazy how fast stuff grows. It's crazy. But in one spot there, we have, like, I don't know if they're, are they grapes or something? I don't know what they are. Grapevines, whatever it is. And yesterday I was out there in the morning trying to clean that junk out, you know. But if somebody had gotten their feet tangled up in those, sure enough, going right on their face. And that's the idea of sin. It entangles us. It tries to press on us. It tries to get us to give in. And that's how our flesh works. And so in here, it easily besets us. And the idea is that we're trying to run. You know, we want to keep a steady pace as a believer. We want to be faithful day by day. But this sin, it tries to thwart us. It tries to entangle us. It tries to prevent us from having that patience to just keep on keeping on. And then verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and to sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Christian life is a lot about endurance. It's a lot about endurance. Well, anybody that's played any kind of sport, run any kind of race, anybody that's had any kind of a project they wanted to finish, taking a class, canning. We got a little bit of strawberry jam canned yesterday and had some this morning, and it was really, really good. One of the things we didn't need endurance for was picking the berries, because there was so many when we went, what day did we go? Was it Friday? It's Friday, right? Anyway, whatever day it was, we went, and there was so many, it was like you almost couldn't hardly pick which ones you wanted to pick because there was so many of them. It was like 15 feet in the row, you could have like 8 or 10 quarts, or just like that. But anybody that's ever tried to accomplish anything, we have to have endurance. We have to have endurance. Now, sometimes in the sporting realm, it goes a little bit too far, and people get a little crazy at times. But we have to have endurance if we're going to accomplish any kind of a goal. If in our prayer time, in our Bible reading, we have to have endurance. But we have to look to Jesus to be able to see where that courage can come from. What did he deal with? I mean, what he dealt with on the cross was way more than what we ever deal with day by day. Way more. And we have to really look unto him. And it can't be just a casual passing glance. It has to be fixing our eyes on him. And then verse 3 here, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." And this is where the battle is. It's in our mind. It's in our mind. If we look back again at James 1, verse 14, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Are we people that are living by truth in our minds? Or do we let our emotions get away from us, our desires get away from us? But we have to have our minds fixed on the Lord. Let's turn to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. So many different things that try to get us distracted. Many, many things. I still can't hardly believe, you know, certain spots out at our place, just how fast stuff grows and how thick it is. And we have this one mower we bought a couple years ago, and it can do a lot of work. But the problem is we got something goofy on one side, and so because there's two blades in it. And so the other morning we tried to put the second blade on because before it didn't work right, so we tried it again. It didn't work right again. The blades keep hitting each other. I don't know if there's something a little bit loose or something in there, or if it's stripped or what it is. But anyway, we used it with one blade. We used it with one blade, so it cuts about 16 inches wide. But, you know, that's the only thing that'll go through the stuff because it's got such a powerful motor. But ideally, we want to use both blades. And that's how we are sometimes spiritually speaking. We're only clicking on half the cylinders. Sometimes one spark plug's not hooked up right or whatever. You know, we want to be clicking on all cylinders, so to speak. We want to have everything working as it should, spiritually speaking. And a key to that is in verse 3 here, Proverbs 16. The Bible says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." So often we get ourselves into a place where we can be tempted because we're not busy. Now, we want to be busy doing the right things, obviously. But when we're not busy serving the Lord, that's when the devil has an opportunity to influence us, the flesh and the world as well. Let's turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. We read here in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, it says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." We basically got two options. Either sin can beset us, or the Lord can beset us. And you know, we want God to be what's pressing on us on all sides, so to speak. We want to be entangled with Him, so to speak, where our goals and our time are a result of what He has for us. Psalm 139 and verse 1, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Excuse me, verse 3, Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. We want to be totally entangled with the Lord, allowing Him to have His way, because if we get a little bit off track, then that's where sin's going to start to have, excuse me, start to have an impact on us. Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Pastor brings this verse out. This verse out at times, you know, people saying, well, it doesn't work for me. Well, it's just like what we read in James. If it's not working for us, we're the one at fault. God's faithful. We know that. It's just our willingness. It's our desire. It's our yieldedness to Him. Let's start in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 10, 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth to take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. There's always a way out. There's always a way out. But as I already mentioned, do we have the will to take it? Do we have the will to take it? And it goes for each one of us here. It goes for every guy at the sheriff's camp. It goes for every guy that gets called, or every home that gets called upon. It goes for everybody that receives Bible courses through the mail. Everything. It's all about what is the person going to do with the truth? What are they going to do with the truth? What are we going to do with the truth? It's like a guy I've mentioned many times. He came out to Bible study time and time and time again for months and months. Within 2 or 3 months after getting released from the sheriff's camp, he got picked up again for driving drunk driving. And he knew what was going to happen because we had talked about it. He and I personally had talked about it. He knew he was going to go to state prison, and that's what happened. But we got to have the will. But, you know, so many times our emotions get involved. They distract us away from what we want to accomplish. They distract us from the truth. We know the truth is what is going to make us free. We know the truth is what's going to sanctify us, but we need to be careful to not allow ourselves, excuse me, to get distracted. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 9, 2 Peter 2, 9. The Bible says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. The Lord knows. He'll do it. But we have to let Him. We have to let Him. He knows how to deliver us out of temptations. But a part of that is being faithful. A part of that is being busy, committing our works unto Him. But He knows how to. And how many times has He? Well, every single time, we've made a choice to do what He says. It's an issue of faith. It's an issue of faith. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. The guy mentioned already out there at the sheriff's camp, you know, he's like, well, I said, do you have faith in anything? Well, no, not really. Well, and you got to understand, this guy is probably, this is only a guess, probably about 350 to 400 pounds. Very big man. I said, what about that chair? And I wasn't trying to be funny, because whether somebody weighs 150 or 350 pounds, they got faith in the chair. Every one of you showed faith this morning. I showed faith this morning just having the fact that we sat down. You know, we believe the pew is going to hold us. You know, me standing here, I believe, I don't know what's here, if it's inch plywood or we're hoping it's pretty thick. But whatever it is, we have faith. You know, and I said, you know, did you eat dinner tonight? Uh-huh. Well, then you had some faith in the cooks because you never know what they could have put in there. One guy's like, yeah, I never thought about that. These are inmates preparing our meals. What might they put in there? I said, we all, you know, everybody has faith all the time. Well, yeah, I guess. You know, and you kind of, you plant some seeds, and hopefully I gave him a couple Bible courses. I did not have a extra Bible with me, so there's some there. I showed him, here's the Bible you want to use. You want to get this King James and do these Bible courses with it. You know, and as I left, he said, thank you, God bless you. And I'm just hoping he really does something with it. He really does something with it, but it's about faith. For him, it's about him coming to the light that he has. Thursday night, he got a lot of light. He got a lot of scripture verses. He got a lot of things to think about. But what did he do with it? You know, what did he do with it later on Thursday night? What did he do with it Friday, Saturday? What did he do with it? And did he continue to come to that? And it's the same for us when we have struggles. Do we continue to trust God? Do we hang on to Bible verses? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. We can't do anything to please God without faith. And we know faith's not a blind leap, but I think that's what he kind of thought. You know, I think he kind of thought, well, faith's just a blind leap. But it's having facts. It's having reality. You know, from verse 1 here, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's not a blind leap. It's not, I mean, for many of us, we've sat in the pew we're in right now many times before. So we, you know, we're thinking, hey, it's probably still good. Then to continue on here in verse 6, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We can't do this half-heartedly. We cannot do it half-heartedly. If we're going to overcome, if we're going to be victorious in our struggle with sin, we've got to come to God wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. Let's turn to, Mark chapter 7. Mark 7. Mark chapter 7, and we're going to start in verse 14. Mark 7:14. When he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entereth in, and that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, and purging all meats? And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. And these are all the types of things, and we can look at many other lists, Ephesians, Colossians, many other places, about what defiles us. You know, and some people have the wrong idea within Christianity that, well, we don't have a sin nature anymore. It's gone. You can get rid of it. Well, no, you can't. There's a war going on. There's a war going on, and it's a constant thing. It's a constant thing. Let's look in Galatians. I'm hoping it's the right book. Yeah, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. There's a war going on. You know, and that's one of the things that you know people say, well, yeah, I got saved and so on and so forth. Well, is there a battle now, you know, against evil and for the right thing? Because some people you know, they say they got saved, and there isn't any kind of a battle. You know, the Holy Spirit and the flesh are not doing any kind of war with one another. But that's within the believer. That's what's going to be going on. There's going to be a battle. Verse 16 here, Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And there's a battle there. There's a battle there. And we have to be engaged in the battle. We have to be engaged in the battle in order to have victory. That's an obvious idea. Whenever there's a war, if you're not in the battle, you're not going to win. But the idea is if we're going to overcome temptation, we've got to be yielded. We've got to say no to the flesh. We've got to say no to the old man. We've got to say yes to the Scripture. That's the only way. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin, the Bible says. Let's turn to Mark 14. Mark 14. Mark 14. Mark 14 and verse 38. Mark 14, 38. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The Spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And then Matthew 26. Matthew 26. It's interesting to look at the parallel passages in certain situations. Well, it's always interesting, but just one word that might be different. You know, like, oh, well, there's a contradiction here. No, there's not. It's just one writer emphasized one part of what was said, and another writer emphasized a different part. Because it's interesting here to note Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so these two together, the Spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. So what's that tell us? The Spirit is ready and willing. It's not just that he's ready, he's also willing and able. But we've got to take the way. We have got to choose the escape. We've got to choose whatever means God has provided for us to escape the temptation. Let's turn to Genesis 39. Genesis 39. One of the guys out there, he seems to kind of really have a struggle. He just seems like he wants to blame everybody else for his problems sometimes, and he says a lot of the right words. You know, he gives a lot of the right words, like, yeah, I know this, and but inside, you really wonder, is it just here and he's trying to convince himself, or is it really made it down into his heart where he really, you know, where he really knows that it really is his responsibility, the things that's gone, you know, the things he's done in his life. Genesis 39 and verse 7, it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. And he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in his house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that, I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And we know from here, the master comes back, he gets thrown into prison for doing the right thing. But he fled the sin. And we have to trust God for the results. Because sometimes when we do the right thing, there's not always a lot of great consequences. Many times there is. But we got to trust God for that. We've got to trust God for that. And as we already read, the Spirit is ready and willing. The Spirit is ready and willing. And we have to pray, like Pastor gives the illustration about, you know, if there's a wild animal down the path, do you want to have a sign there or do you want to meet it in the path? You know, that's where the prayer comes in. Pray for God to help us not go down those paths, to avoid those things. But when things do happen like that, in Joseph's situation here, we have to flee. We have to get out of there. And, you know, do all we can to avoid the situations, but then when they do arise, get out of there and use God's way of escape. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love and your goodness, and we do thank you for the fact that your word is true. And every word is important, and every word is needful for us. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we do just pray, Father, that whatever area we might be struggling in, that we know the truth of your word, so that we can have that, Lord, as our help to keep our minds focused, and as our help to do the right thing. Just lead, guide, and direct in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.